based on her dissertation at the university.
During the 20th century, statistical methods have become part and parcel of agricultural research, and statistics is nowadays presented as essential to the intellectual equipment of a scientist working in agriculture or the experimental side of biology. The emergence of statistics has entailed a reshaping of both the conceptual tools and the material implements of agricultural research, redefining the experimental cultures of agriculture. I am going to examine such a transformation, concentrating on the first half of the 20th century and considering field trials, one of the main experimental activities undertaken in agriculture. The role gained by statistics in field experiments will be discussed using as a case study Rothamsted Experimental Station, the British agricultural institution where the statistical methods nowadays popular in the planning and analysis of field experiments were developed during the 1920s. I will argue that the emergence of statistics in the Rothamsted field experiments promoted randomization over systematic arrangements, factorization over one-question trials, and emphasized the relevance of experimental error in assessing the accuracy of the field experiments. These changes in methodology transformed as well the material culture of agricultural science, and a new body, the Field Plots Committee, was created to manage the field research of the agricultural institution. Overall, I will claim that the Rothamsted statistical consultants considerably contributed to the redefinition of research methods in 20th century agricultural science. I would like to start with a brief overview of the main categories of field experiments with plants that were popular in British agriculture at the beginning of the 20th century. We had fertilizer trials to test the effects of a fertilizer or a combination of fertilizers on the growth of the crop. Uniformity trials in which each experimental unit in the field was treated alike, and differences in the yields of the experimental units were used to determine the soil heterogeneity. Variety trials for testing the different varieties of the same crop. Grassland experiments used to assess the most profitable pastures. Horticultural experiments for examining growth, output quality, and productivity of fruit trees and shrubs. In their diversity, there were elements common to all these categories of field experiments. And precisely, all these experiments were done on a plurality of sites. They were done in experimental stations, but also in private farms. All these experiments required a careful planning and also recording and of the several steps of the experiments and of the final results. These kind of experiments all required the participation of unskilled labor in the material implementation of the experiment. At the beginning of the 20th century, that meant also illiterate labor, and for instance, in agricultural practices were common the use of color codes, for instance, for the manures, or where the laborers were called to do actual work on the experimental plots. And all these experiments were linked to strong economic issues. On the one hand, there were high costs incurred for making field experiments, and on the other, there was a value of these field experiments for suggesting more profitable agricultural practices. Since the 19th century, it was recognized that statistics could offer strategies for improving the planning and analysis of field experiments, and it could enhance their accuracy and their relevance for farmers. In the 20th century, the agricultural station of Rothamsted, that is located in Herefordshire, was a key place for the development of statistical techniques for field experimentation. Rothamsted was set up at the mid of the 19th century to study crops and fertilizers, and the institution that now is called Rothamsted Research is still commended for its classical experiments. And the field trials on crops and fertilizer that have been continued year after year for over one century and a half now have produced a mass of agricultural data that are still currently used and studied. During World War I, these classical experiments were added annual experiments, and there was therefore a considerable increase in the amount of field experimentation that was done in this agricultural institution. It is not surprising, therefore, that the interest for the application of statistics to field experiments developed at Rothamsted quite early in the 20th century. It was Alfred Daniel Hall, that you can see here in picture, that was a distinguished agricultural scientist and civil servant, and was the second director of Rothamsted Experimental Station from 1902 to 1912, he was the person who at first promoted statistics at Rothamsted. In 1909, Hall brought a contribution on the experimental error in field trials for the Journal of the Board of Agriculture. And a year later, Hall and the agronomist W.B. Mercer set up a uniformity trial in the Rothamsted experimental fields to test the problems raised by Hall's paper. From the results of the uniformity trial, Hall and Mercer made an attempt to deduce the most practicable size of plot and the number of repetitions that would reduce the probable error to dimensions less than the differences to be expected in the trials. The results of Hall and Mercer's work were published in 1911 in the Journal of Agricultural Science, which was a mainstream publication for agricultural workers in Britain. In their experimental work, and later in the data analysis, Hall and Mercer had to improvise their bricks with a minimum of straw, as Hall wrote. The mathematical tools that they adopted, despite the support in the data analysis of the brewer William Gossett, who was a pioneer in the application of statistics to agricultural science, were very crude for dealing with the outcomes of agricultural experiments, and the implements for the field work that they used were at best artisanal and inventive. For instance, Hall remembers that Mercer constructed a thresher for his little bundles of wheat out of an old bicycle frame, on which he used to mount and pedal away in order to knock out the grain, thus combining research and exercise. In 1912, Hall left Rothamsted, and statistics was to be resumed at the agricultural institution only after World War I, when Rothamsted, under the management now of the agricultural chemist Edward John Russell, the one that you see on the top, and that was director of Rothamsted for over 30 years, Russell hired the first statistician at the station. This statistician, Ronald Elmer Fisher, remained at the station for about 15 years, and during these 15 years he developed the statistical methods that now are mainstream in applied research. During the 1920s, Fisher contributed to the analysis of the historical series of hills and meteorological data at the experimental station, and to the planning and analysis of its field and laboratory experiments. In this context, Fisher developed the statistical methods of analysis of variance and experimental design that were readily adopted at Rothamsted in the making of field experiments. The analysis of variance is a method for analyzing experimental results, breaking down the global variation in several components that are identified with different causes of variation. In the Rothamsted field experiments on crops and fertilizers, with the analysis of variance, the unequal fertility of the soil could be set aside from the efficacy of the fertilizers. That was the real point of interest. Furthermore, the analysis of variance made available a rigorous test of significance to assess whether a set of experimental results satisfied a certain scientific hypothesis or not. Experimental design consists in strategies and principles for the sound planning of an experiment. In arranging field experiments at Rothamsted, the basic principles were the replication of experimental plots, of experiments on small plots of land, randomization, that is the chance allocation of treatment to plots, the use of factorial experiments in which multiple experimental questions were combined together, confounding, that is the decision in relevant cases to sacrifice information on minor interactions, including it in the soil heterogeneity. With the help of the Rothamsted field workers, the plant ecologist, the plant physiologist, the statistician Ronald Fisher developed the two main schemes of field experimentation, the Latin square and the randomized block. You can see here two examples taken from the Rothamsted reports of the 1920s. These two randomized schemes promptly replaced at Rothamsted the systematic arrangements that were traditionally adopted by British agricultural scientists. And now, how to make sense of the changes brought by statistics in experimentation in agriculture. As argued by Hans Jörg Reinberger, practices and concepts can package together in scientific research, and experimental systems, the smallest integral working units of research, are defined by two closely connected elements, the epistemic things, that is, the entities or processes under investigation, and the technical objects that articulate the epistemic things into the practicalities of experimentation, thus determining the realm of their possible representations. In the Rothenstein field experiments, the emergence of statistics redefined such a realm of possible representations. Conceived as a technical object, statistics, in fact, reconceptualized the making of field experiments in relation to the arrangement of a trial and the possibility to assess its experimental error. And it also constrained the research questions that the experimental scientist could ask. In the statistical frame of mind, only when the planning and analysis of a trial are sound, the results can be fully interpreted and trusted for advising farmers on better agricultural practices. The experimental error, in particular, became the benchmark of the reliability of the experiment, and from the mid-1920s it was constantly presented in the annual reports of the scientific activity at Rothenstein. The epistemic things, that is, the agricultural elements under consideration, crops, fertilizers, and so on, they gained scientific meaning as practical instances of the experimental units and the related treatments that the statistical schemes for field experimentation now allowed. In particular, with the application of statistics, the study of field experiments was conceived and interpreted at Rothenstein in terms of randomized trials, experimental errors calculated with the analysis of variance, and factorial designs. These three elements set a clear departure from the practices of field experimentation that had been previously adopted in agricultural research. Field experiments in agriculture were traditionally developed using replicated but systematic arrangements, where care is taken to put the unlike plots as close together as possible, and the like plots consequently as far apart as possible. For instance, the Rothenstein director, John Russell, advised to avoid the systematic design ABABAB and to favor a balanced arrangement ABBAABBA, because in the latter neither A or B were favored, while in the former, if the land or drainage worsened from left to right, A might be perceived as superior, even if in fact there was no difference with the B. Despite this caution, however, systematic arrangements, and you see here an example, some example, in particular the chessboard design and the half drill strip, were extremely popular. For instance, the National Institute of Agricultural Botany in Cambridge kept using the half drill strip throughout the 1920s, well beyond the time in which Ronald Fisher had worked out his randomized system of experimentation. But the problem with systematic arrangements was that they were unsuitable for producing a valid estimate of the experimental error. In a systematic experiment, in fact, nothing prevented the personal biases of the experimenter from interfering with the making of a trial. Moreover, systematic arrangements, like the chessboard arrangement or the alpha drill strip, they often existed in repeated configurations when more than two varieties or treatments were involved. In contrast, the cornerstone of experimental design in the Rothenstein field trials became a randomization so that no distinction can creep in between pairs of plots treated alike and pairs treated differently. Randomization gave the opportunity to obtain a valid estimate of the experimental error with the analysis of variance, because if we imagine, said Ronald Fisher, a large number of different results obtained by different random arrangements, the ratio of the real to the estimated error will actually be distributed in the theoretical distribution by which the significance of the result is tested. During the 1920s, randomization was not the only novelty introduced by the application of statistics to field experiments at Rothenstein. In the 1910s, A.D. Hall had framed his data analysis using the probable error, a concept dear to 19th century error theorists, while Fisher's methods of error estimation in field experiments made reference to a newer concept of the standard deviation that had been introduced by the statistician Carl Pearson at the end of the 19th century. During the 1920s, the Rothenstein reports adopted the standard deviation as a benchmark of the quality of the experiments, and discrepancies between treatments bigger than three times the standard deviation were suggested as significant. With the joint use of analysis of variance and experimental design, the experimental error of the Rothenstein field trials was between 2 and 4% in 1929, while traditional experiments rarely gave an accuracy superior to 10%. Virotan state field methods, therefore, fulfilled the main aim of agricultural trials, that is the opportunity to give more precise advice to farmers. There is one last element that was introduced by the practices of field experimentation at Rothamsted, and this was the decision to make factorial designs and not simple designs. Traditional authors of agricultural science, in fact, advised to keep field experiments simple. Instead, the Rothamsted trials combined multiple research questions into the same trial. Ronald Fisher argued, in fact, that nature would best respond to a logical and carefully thought-out questionnaire, while if we ask her a single question, she will often refuse to answer until some other topic has been discussed, suggested Fisher. With complex experiments, it was possible to join economy and accuracy in agricultural science, because the number of experimental plots was high, but inferior to the number of plots required by the making of separate experiments with the same accuracy. And evident were therefore the savings in terms of time, labor, and land use. The new methods of experimentation required more complex arrangements for the setup of the field trials, and in 1924 a field plots committee was instituted at Rothamsted to manage the field experiments in the station. Throughout its history, that lasted until the late 1970s, the field plot committee and the subcommittees and working parties that supported its activity planned and managed the work in the experimental fields at Rothamsted, providing a forum in which experimental scientists, statisticians, and the farm staff in charge of the implementation of the experiments could meet and debate the field work. Statistical methods and statisticians heavily shaped the action of the committee. Since the 1920s, experimental design was significantly promoted in the planning of the station field trials, and the statisticians acted as consultants in several aspects of the work, suggesting whether a trial was worth continuing or not, advising on the implementation of complex field experiments, and so on. Through the committee, the statistician had also their say in the field's operation. It was in fact the committee that decided when and how following, manuring, harvesting, and so on should be carried out. Such a wide-ranging influence of the statisticians was not uncontroversial. One example is the harvest of a wheat experiment in the Broadbock field in 1933. Upon suggestions of the statisticians, the field plots committee decided that the headlands should be cut out between each follow strip of a Broadbock before harvest. But the farm manager disregarded the decision of the committee on the grounds of expense and impracticability. The farm manager was formally approached because his insubordinate behavior was a potential menace for all the field work of the experimental station, since there would be no guarantee that the details of any experiment were correctly carried out. And in January of the following year, to avoid further problems for the Broadbock field, that was a particularly important at Rothamsted because it's a classical experiment, the field plot committee decided that the headlands should be marked out by paths so as to facilitating the shighting at harvest. A rigorous management of the experiment, in fact, required the field work as meticulous as the statistical planning of the trial. A detailed description of the methods used in the cultivation of the experimental fields at Rothamsted was published in 1939 in the Empire Journal of Experimental Agriculture. The account, written by the Rothamsted farm manager J.R. Moffat, deals with the careful regulations in the field operations and the implements adopted for cultivating the small experimental plots. Every detail was regulated, from the plowing of the fields to the setup of the experimental plots, up to the weighing of the produce at harvest and the recording of the results. The field experiments managed by the committee on the Rothamsted estate were not the only field trials done by the agricultural station. Here you can see two publications related to the experiments done on the private farms. And it was continuously emphasized that the statistical department at Rothamsted was always ready to give advice on the layout and interpretation of field experiments to farmers. At Rothamsted, statistical advice became a new voice in the services offered by the station extension services. Even in the trials done on the soil of commercial farms, Latin squares and randomized blocks were adopted, and the Rotenstedt staff collaborated with the local farmers in the management of the experiment. Again, the results gained in these external experiments were discussed in terms of a standard error, but also in terms of their cash value, because this was quite a crude measure, but it was of immediate impact on the farmers who had lent their land for the trial. In the end, so, we ask, what was the role of a statistician in agricultural science? According to the master Edwin Bevan, the statistician is a good servant but a bad master, because he criticized the randomized experiments used at Rotenstedt. Bevan's reluctance to accept the randomized experimental designs is not surprising. Randomization was a point of contention even between Ronald Fisher and William Gossett, the chemist and brewer who otherwise was the main discussant and supporter of Fisher's statistical ideas. Like Bevan, Gossett could see the usefulness of randomization in theory, but he considered it not applicable in practice. And randomization was just one of the issues that the application of statistics to field trials raised. In his advocacy of complex experiments, for instance, Ronald Fisher was openly contradicting the director of Rotenstedt Experimental Station, John Russell, who had claimed in 1926 in the Journal of the Ministry of Agriculture that the chief requirement of each agricultural experiment is simplicity. Yet, despite oppositions and perplexities, analysis of variance and experimental design found an interested audience among agronomists since the 1920s, and they were adopted in the making of field experiments well beyond Rotenstedt. Aromat, for instance, has described the emergence of inferential statistics in field experimentation in the Netherlands and the Dutch colonies in the 1930s. A person instrumental in this development was the agronomist Sten Holk Justesen, who had received his statistical training at Rotenstedt with Fisher. Nowadays, statistics has gained a central role in field experimentation. Agronomists are routinely trained in statistical methods and usually rely on the analysis of variance in the examination of their experimental results. The advice of statistical consultants is sought in the planning of field experiments, where randomization is recognized as a necessary requirement, and statistical evaluation is part of the peer review process for publication. The Rotenstedt statisticians, therefore, significantly contributed to the redefinition of research methods in agricultural science. In conclusion, I would just like to point out that this history of agricultural experimentation and the role of statistics in agricultural experimentation is not just important for agricultural science in itself, but it's important more generally for research in the 20th century, because these methods developed in agricultural science became widespread in the experimental and social sciences during the century.